You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you, Albert Breer, all of our amazing listeners and callers. Thank you, Jeff Miller, Danny Zetterman, J.R. Strauss, Hoodie and I back 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Blackhawks will play tonight. Bulls don't play again now till Saturday because their Wednesday game postponed due to contact tracing COVID-19 issues within the Memphis Grizzlies franchise.
They missed like six straight games or something, haven't they?
Crazy.
The Grizzlies?
Sports bettors want to get in on the original sports betting action, watch and wager on horse races from across the country with the Club Hawthorne app. Great odds in every race, betting in just a few easy clicks, and live streamed races. Download the app or bet online where Carmen goes, where I go, at clubhawthorne.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Carmen Yurko.
Hello, boys.
Hi, guys.
What's up, fellas?
What's
morning.
Up?
Morning. Jan 26, big day, Super Bowl, Kobe, JD's birthday. Happy birthday.
I heard birthday, JD.
Albert Breer's birthday, I heard, huh? Happy birthday.
So who's who? About that?
And the greatest hockey player of all time celebrating a birthday today.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know. Savard.
Yeah. Savvy, happy birthday.
18 Dennis
he's
Savard.
The second greatest.
Oh. Very disappointing, you guys.
He's the second.
If you said the greatest, it'd be Eddie Olczyk.
Eddie O. Well, the greatest Chicago-born player. Actually, that might technically be Chelios. Eddie's the greatest number 16 from Chicago ever, period, end of story.
All right.
There you go. There we go.
We can go with that.
Yes,
the best from Niles.
The best from Niles and Brother Rice, right, by way of Brother Rice.
Correct.
That's right, yes.
Ballard Ice Arena.
That's right. Happy birthday to the great one, Wayne Gretzky. Yes,
there you go.
Good day.
So has there been a documentary made about his exodus going from Edmonton to Los Angeles? Where can I find that documentary?
I believe there has been. I think maybe one of the 30 for 30. Didn't 30 for 30 do something on that?
Yes, they did.
Peter Pocklington. Yeah.
And Keith Olbermann's featured because he's the one who broke the story.
That's right, yeah.
Peter Pocklington.
Yeah,
I need to watch that because people don't know the enormity of how big that was. Small town Edmonton, which is the Kansas City of Canada.
That's right.
So Edmonton, going from Edmonton to Los Angeles, how big that was. The great Wayne Gretzky leaving Edmonton after all those Stanley Cups and all of those great teams.
He was sobbing in that 30 for 30 because he was getting traded.
And he never did crap out there.
Well, they went to a cup. They didn't win. You're right. They did go to a cup final. Barry Melrose was their coach.
So that one was called King's Ransom, and it was directed by Peter Berg.
Yeah, it was done
in 2009.
Luke Robitaille was out there.
Yeah, Luke went with him. Wasn't that part of the trade?
I have no idea.
Or was McSorley?
For people who say he's
not... McSorley went with him.
McSorley went
Robitaille was already there.
Yeah, that's
people say he's not the most dominant team sport athlete.
Well...
You take all his goals away, he's still the all-time leading scorer in the history of
that's
the sport.
Right. More
crazy.
More assists than any other player in the history of the sport has points.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who's number two? Mark Messier still?
I believe Messier is number two on the all-time list. And I think Jágr's probably pretty close because he played so damn long.
Jeremy.
He was so good. Yeah, Jágr's probably somewhere in the top...
Ovi's got to be...
Well,
up the
I mean,
list.
Certainly goals-wise, Ovi doesn't have the assist that those guys had.
It's not outlandish to think Ovi could...
Pass the goals.
Yes.
Yeah. Ovi could break the goal record, believe it or not. And that would have, like, 10 years ago, you never would have thought that would have been possible. But, no, he could. Yeah, it's an amazing stat.
Jágr's second points.
Yeah,
Messier's third. Gordie Howe fourth.
Jágr passed him because he played so damn long. And then I heard when Breer was talking to you guys, too, I mean, speaking of amazing stats, and when he dropped the one on Brady, like... That Tom Brady now has won more games in the playoffs than any other quarterback ever has since turning 35.
Isn't that crazy?
Sick.
It's like, what?
Sick.
It's insane.
He's won more games than Joe Montana won after turning 35 or since turning 35. Like, wait a minute. How?
Well, you know
17
how.
17 playoff games since turning 35. 17 wins. It's just...
Tell me about all those Hall of Famers he played with, by the way, at wide receiver and running back.
Not many. Okay. Randy, Gronk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably it, right?
Randy, Gronk.
Who else?
Yeah, those are the only guys who'll make the Hall of Fame.
Those are the I mean, the
Wes Welker is not going to be a Hall of Fame.
Mike Evans has no shot.
No.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Well,
maybe.
No.
Maybe.
He might. He might, but he's so, you know, early in his career.
Right. Yeah, maybe. That's a little bit.
Evans, though, has seven consecutive 1,000-yard seasons to start his career. The only guy to ever do that.
That's right. Pretty cool.
Who did Passing Montana play helps. With?
Passing? Jerry Rice.
That's it, right?
Jerry John Rice. Taylor, John, Dwight
but
Clark.
But he's talking about not Hall of Famers.
Roger Craig.
Not Hall of Famers.
Yeah, it's true.
Roger Craig's not in?
I don't think so.
No.
I wouldn't think. No.
No.
None of the tight ends?
I'll take those guys over some of the guys that Brady's had to play with.
I would, too. I'd take John Taylor and Dwight Clark were still pretty damn good.
Yes. Let's see. Edelman, you know, Dwight Clark.
Edelman's pretty good.
All right. Let's not do that now. Let's not do that. We're just random accountants out there he's just passing the ball to. Let's not do that.
Edelman's pretty good.
All right. Not even Hall of the very good? No. Not even close.
Hall of good. How about that?
Hall
we'll
of
drop
good.
The very.
What is that? Hall of good. Another level.
Lower the bar down a level.
All right. Yeah. Hall of good.
We were saying yesterday.
He's Mark Furley.
You know, you can build like another hall down the street from Canton, and then maybe another block from there we'll build one, and like you could put Edelman and Welker and those guys in that one.
I mean,
you go ahead and do that.
That's the thing that's impressive to me, Yerk, is that you when you're able to do it with those players, not necessarily game breaker, difference maker guys, they all work together in concert. Not necessarily A-level, top-shelf guys.
Read, react, team concept. That's what Belichick teaches up there. You look at what they did defensively, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with guys. Guys.
With guys.
Guys.
Another group that you don't have a ton of Hall of Fame players from, right?
Well,
Ty Law.
That's it, right? Maybe Rodney Harrison for the second batch.
Is Rodney
but he's not.
No, Richard Seymour is up. For the Hall. He's among the finalists.
I know. No Brewski. It looked like for a while they're going to try to push Brewski, you know, over the top, but there's no way in H that Brewski ends up getting in there. Richard Seymour's the one they're trying to push now.
Yeah, that's what Mellor was saying.
Yeah, he and his 50-plus sacks really not going to get it done.
Yeah, I doubt it. I mean, he had like 57 sacks.
I mean, Randy White had 50-some sacks, but Randy White played at a time where they didn't throw the ball as much, so the run defense was as important as the pass.
I'm guessing Randy might have played some years without sack as a stat,
right?
Too,
Cortez Kennedy also could have. Yeah, Randy could have done that without it. Cortez Kennedy only had 58 sacks, but Cortez Kennedy was a dominant defensive lineman.
He was a player of the 90s.
There was
I mean, he was on
no
the all-decade
gray
team.
Area. Yeah. You watch Cortez Kennedy play, he was as disruptive as Warren Sapp was.
Absolutely.
You didn't get that out of Richard Seymour. Richard Seymour didn't provide that.
No.
Cortez Kennedy was drafted by Seattle first.
Yes. Correct.
Did he play anywhere else?
No, I think just Seattle as far as I remember.
Yeah, I
mean, he was on the all-decade team. If you're on the all-decade team, you're
pretty freaking
all-decade.
Good.
Yeah, you should be in. That should be it, you know. And that's why Jimbo all these years should have been. I know his career was short. You know, unfortunately, he didn't, you know, longevity isn't there for a guy like Jimbo. But Jimbo Covert was on the 80s all-decade team with Anthony Munoz. First team.
We do
you
that
can't
with,
be in the
we,
hall. You can't not be in the hall and be on an all-decade team.
He was amazing.
Team.
We do that with football. We don't do that with baseball. The all-decade team.
The all-decade?
Yeah, like Grace is not going to the Hall.
Yeah,
right, for leading the 90s in hits and doubles.
We don't do it in baseball with Palmeiro.
That's just a common stat. Yeah.
Speaking of Hall, the Baseball Hall of Fame will be announced tonight.
Tonight?
Who do you think gets in?
What's the list again?
Schilling was at 70% last time.
Ooh,
and no one that has ever gotten 70% has not made the Hall of Fame.
Right, but they had a number after the Capitol riot. There were a number of voters reached out to the Hall and said, can I have my ballot back? They want to penalize him for supporting
it. What did the Hall say? I never heard a response.
I do not believe they allowed you to have your ballot back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's silly.
No.
You made a vote. It's for the Hall of Fame. It's got, it's you know, Ty Cobb's in there, for crying out loud. I mean, you can't.
But baseball in their charter says character and integrity will be considered. Football does not.
Stop.
Football just says simply, were you a good enough player or not?
How can they say that and have Ty Cobb in there then? I mean, and plenty of other guys, I'm sure, over the years. That's silly.
All right, can you fill out your bracket right here, Cap? Do it right now?
Sure. Hall of Fame baseball? Yeah,
yep.
Let's hear it.
Bobby Abreu?
No. Bobby Abreu.
Barry Bonds?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely yes.
Absolutely not. Yes for me.
Yes. Mark Burley?
No.
No. 200 wins, you sure?
Close.
200 wins.
Close. Hall of Very, the one down the street
let's
again.
Let's bring the bar down
right
a little
down
bit.
The
let's
street.
Bring the bar down. Hold
very
on.
Close.
Yeah, the Hall of Very Good.
Hall of Very Good.
A.J. Burnett?
Nope.
No.
Roger Clemens?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Michael Kadire?
No.
Dan Heron?
Michael Kadire?
No. Dan Heron? No.
Dan Heron? No.
He's in my Hall of Fame of blank holes.
Yes.
But
that's twins.
That's for sure. Dan Heron?
No.
LaTroy Hawkins?
No.
Hey, real quick, did you see Bob Nightingale's piece on LaTroy Hawkins?
No.
He voted for him.
Really?
And I thought it was a really interesting article. He said LaTroy Hawkins was such a good leader in the clubhouse, and he didn't take away his vote. LaTroy Hawkins, the same, you know, the godfather of Patrick Mahomes. He talked about how he was just an inspiration to his teammates. He took them under their wing and was such a good guy. And because he wasn't taking away, he only I think voted for 8 guys, so he wasn't taking away a vote for someone else.
Okay.
And he thought he was such a great teammate that he was somebody who deserved a vote.
But it's not the Hall of Good Teammates.
And he and Paul Sullivan had a very contentious relationship.
Yeah. Look, LaTroy Hawkins was one of the guys here that was really going after the media at the time. Yeah. He was going after Chip and Stoney, right?
He was not in the Chip and Stoney thing. He called a press conference to say that he's not going to speak to the media.
Maybe that's what it was.
When they made him the closer when Joe Borowski got hurt.
Yeah.
So you don't have anybody yet.
Nobody.
And we voted for Bonds and Clemens.
Yeah. So who else is on?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Todd Helton?
Nope. No, but close. And I mean real close. Yeah. That guy could hit, man. Now the park helped, but that guy was a
What
hell
number
of a
did he wear?
Posthumously, he might get in.
722.
17?
17 because of Mark Grace, because he would go home from school to watch him.
Yeah, Helton's close.
Tim Hudson.
No.
Torrey Hunter.
No.
No. Very good, but no.
Ooh.
Close.
Andrew Jones.
No.
I would probably, believe it or not, I might go yes on that one. God, that guy was dynamic defensively, man.
Yeah.
Jeff Kent.
19 in the World Series.
Jeff Kent is a yes.
Yes.
I could support that.
Yes.
Andy Pettit.
No.
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 Close.
I played New York and there's a bias, but no.
He's close, though.
No, and if you're going to punish Clemens, then you got to punish.
Yeah, he cheated.
Pettit. He doesn't get a pass.
No.
Aramis Ramirez.
No.
No.
Manny Ramirez.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No?
Cheated.
Nah.
Scott Rolen.
Oh, man, I love Scott Rolen.
No.
Ooh,
close. I'd have to do a deep dive on the numbers. Close.
He was so good.
And he was the best leader that they had.
And he was as good defensively in his time as anybody. I mean, he was so good over there.
Oh, boy.
Curt Schilling.
No.
No.
Yes. And
no.
Absolutely.
What's wrong?
I had a run-in with him. No, I just would not vote.
Oh, see, this is the problem.
I'm going strictly on baseball. No.
Not your run-in.
For me,
was he good on the field or not?
It's close. And so when it's not, like, clear. Clear, I put you in whether you're a jerk or not. He's a jerk, and I'm not convinced he's a Hall of Famer.
No, you know.
62-7 war for Andrew Jones.
That's not that much.
It's not that little, though.
That's true, Yerk. I mean, he's like one of those borderline guys probably. You know, like, he was another guy who was just so good defensively. Like, how much are we valuing that?
He was amazing.
Amazing.
Gary Sheffield.
No.
No. Just no. No. If it takes that much time, then
he's
no.
He's got a dynamic bat, dog.
Pretty damn good, though, man.
It's tremendous.
He's pretty good.
No. Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
What about the one-on-one with Sammy? Flying down to Miami.
I have a good relationship with Sammy. No.
You know,
I believe he cheated.
I don't, and this has got nothing to do with steroids. I mean, Bond should be in. It's really got nothing to do with it. Like, on merit, is it crazy that I would think, like, I don't know. I mean, Sosa did do a lot of amazing things in about that 6-year run. But, like, Sheffield on pure baseball playing ability might be closer to the Hall of Fame than Sosa to me. To be honest.
You only got to hit, if you buy into that, 63 times.
I know, but.
I'd look at the numbers for that. But Sosa, he would go in for me.
Sheffield had a career 393 on base percentage.
393 career on base percentage.
Sammy would go in
also 500 home runs.
What's his career? What is Sheffield's career OPS plus? What's his
140.
OPS plus?
His 140.
907 and OPS plus is 140.
140.
40% better than the average.
40% better. What's Sammy's career OPS? I bet you it's not 140. I'd be willing to bet almost anything that it's not.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's like 128.
I'm putting Sammy in as a Sox.
Sammy Sosa's career OPS plus is 128.
You nailed it,
Bingo.
Cap. 128. And Sheffield was 140. I'm telling you, Sheffield's more of a Hall of Famer than Sosa. And it's got nothing. And
Sosa's OPS is 878.
Could put them all in with steroids. That's not my stance. It never has been.
Nick Swisher.
But Sheffield was the better offensive player for a longer
Swisher
period of time.
Goes in as Nick the Swisher. Single biggest jag bag I've dealt with coming through Chicago.
Dirty 220? Hoodie's nickname for him?
Dirty he is such a
the worst Sox I've ever
clown.
Ever. All time.
Clown.
Can stand
him.
That
was the best, but Dirty called him Dirty 220.
Dirty 220, yeah.
Your war for Sheffield 60?
60?
60, like 0.3.
Okay.
Sammy's 58.6.
That's pretty close.
Right there.
Wow.
Right there.
Shane Victorino?
No, but man, no. He was fun to watch.
Omar.
The Flying Hawaiian, remember?
Yes. Hawaiian.
Flying Hawaiian.
Yes.
Omar Vizquel?
Yes.
Boy,
yes.
I mean, how many shortstops from the 90s do you want to throw in there?
But here's the problem.
Yeah. If the 90s gets to the Hall of Fame.
If Ozzie Smith is in, Omar Vizquel's got to be in.
That's the problem with lowering the bar. That's what baseball does.
Yeah, no.
Billy Wagner?
How can Ozzie Smith be in and Omar Vizquel not be in?
That's my point.
Billy Wagner's a no, but close.
Barry Zito? Yeah,
no.
No.
Barry Zito, no.
No.
There you go.
Remember that big old curveball of his?
That's it.
There's some speculation there will be zero going into that.
Do you know what his OPS plus is, Carm?
Who's that? Which one?
Omar Vizquel.
Oh, please.
I'm asking you a question.
91.
96.
82. 82.
What was Ozzie's?
Smith.
Two.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I mean, what are you making me look for?
Go crazy, folks. There's no way Ozzie Smith can be in and Omar Vizquel can't be in.
Ozzie's in 45-6, by the way.
Ozzie in for 87. The glove. And
87.
Ozzie gets in with the glove and the cartwheel.
Exactly. The backflip. 87 OPS plus.
87 still 5 points higher.
It is.
What is Mike Trout's OPS plus?
My heavens.
Oh, by the way, probably off first career, it's probably about 160.
Here's your difference. Ozzie Smith's WAR 76.9. Compared
That's a
to
lot
45.
More. That is a lot more.
Yeah, it's 31 more wins above replacement, Carm.
Please, go hit me a single. And do a
Trout's
backflip.
176 is 176 OPS plus.
176.
For Trout? Yeah, it's insane.
Insane. He's 76% better.
What did DiMaggio tell Frank Thomas? If I hit that many singles, I want to kill myself.
That's the best. The best, yeah. Go hit a single. Let's see.
Let me know how that
Come
works
on, kid,
out.
Go give me
team.
A single. That's why Earl Weaver was the best. Single? What do I want a guy to get in a single for?
Single.
Team speed, get the hell
get
out of here.
Get me one of those big blankety blanks.
Why do I like guys running around getting picked off? play Earl Weaver baseball. He was way ahead of his time, folks.
He was.
Yes, he was.
My buddy was his trainer in this. Remember the senior pro baseball league that he did?
Yeah.
Like the Gold Coast Rays? Bill said I had to bring two screwdrivers at 7 a.m. to his room. He would drink 3/4 of it, and then while he shaved and talked to Bill about the health of the team, he'd clean his razor and what was left of the one screwdriver and drink the other one. He goes, dude, by 7:30, two screwdrivers in, let's go.
Maniac, I love it.
Maniac.
If I hit that many singles, I'd kill myself.
All right, you guys have a great day.
The best line ever. See
have
you,
have a good show.
All right, bye.
Honey, I'll see you in the morning.
All right.
Everybody have a great day. Stay safe out there. See ya.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Oh! January 26, 1986. The day the Bears won the Super Bowl 35 years ago. Pretty big day in these parts. 35 freaking years ago. We got to celebrate it like it was last week. 35 years ago. Jan 26, a pretty significant day. You know, it's the great one's birthday. The Bears won the Super Bowl. And sadly, a year ago today, Kobe Bryant passed away. Those are a couple of major events for us here in Chicago that if you're old enough, you know, you won't forget where you were. Merkin was asking me where I was when the Bears won, and I was pretty little. I mean, I was only 9 years old. Merk's 6 years older than me. I mean, he already had a full mustache at 15. How about that? Way to go, Merk.
Full Merkin.
I did full...
and a full Merkin.
Full Merkin. I did not have a full mustache. I had just turned 9. And I remember watching the game, and he said, did you appreciate it enough? And I said, listen, by the time I was 9, when I was about 6, I became hooked. That was it.
You know, I was 18.
And you were 18.
I was a freshman in college. I drove back up here to watch it with friends.
Yeah?
Had a good time, celebrated the Super Bowl. You know, early on, I said, oh, boy, what's going on? Had the fumble.
Yeah, fumble.
They come back. Singletary got a hand on the pass. They ended up kicking a field goal, right?
Yes, that's right. They took a 3-0 lead.
They took a 3-0 lead.
After
then
a turnover.
It was red rum the rest of the way.
That's exactly what it was the rest of the way. But even at 9 years old, it was impossible not to be wrapped up in those Bears that year and the vibe and the feeling throughout the city. And
I mean, the refrigerator is the guy that really kind of captured it all.
Absolutely.
When he ran over George Cumbie in the end zone.
And here we are all these years later, 35 years after, you know, that glorious Super Bowl 20 victory. Still nothing, you know.
Do you remember where we were 10 years ago today?
One return trip. 10 years ago today. Let me think about that. Now that's interesting.
10 years ago today.
Jan 26 of 2011.
The 25th anniversary. Do you remember where we were? I'll tell you where we were.
So it was the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you and I were doing the afternoon show.
Where the heck would we have been?
We were at the Erie Crown Theater hosting the 25th anniversary. And they had the big ballroom. They had the ballroom rented out. We were there doing our radio show. They were coming in and out. They were going inside the theater.
Yeah, now I do remember.
My uncle was there.
Did Waddle host? Was he the host of that? Or
Waddle was inside on the host. We were doing our radio show
outside. Yeah, yes. That's right.
So they had all the Bears in there. Coach Ditka declared this is the last damn thing he's doing for the 85 Bears, remember? After 25 years, we ain't celebrating no more.
That sounds like Coach. It's about right.
Win a new one. Coach had had enough.
How about winning a new one? You know, Mongo's joked about that over the years, too. You know, I mean, they love the fame and the notoriety they got because those guys are all pretty beloved, and we've got to work in with a lot of them and know a lot of them. But Mongo used to joke the same thing. He'd say, brother, I'm sick of, I wouldn't mind, I love this ride, but I wouldn't mind them for heaping the praise on these younger boys. You know, it's about damn time.
That's how it was in Green Bay with the Packers of the 60s. They were, you know, all of them, Bart Starr, Forrest Gregg, they were all legends up there, and you had to hear about them because they're the ones that won the champion. The only way you're not going to hear about them is to go win.
That's
and
right.
And eventually they did win, and then they became the focus as much as those 60 guys did. Now the Packers from the 60s are all dropping like flies.
Sure.
So you've got nowhere else to turn, but you've got to go and cheer for the Packers of the 90s now in 2010.
They've delivered. That's the difference. Yeah, and the Bears
delivered.
Are still
the
waiting.
The Bears have not delivered.
So here we are. The Bears are going to look for a quarterback again in the offseason. Right back where they started, seemingly every single year, unfortunately.
Listen, find Trask or the kid from Bama. Which one do you like better? Take him in the second round. Let's have a party.
Yeah, on this show, and I heard Waddle and Sylvie a little bit yesterday. Connor sitting in for Waddle this week, Connor McKnight. I heard them debating the Stafford stuff. You know, Matt Stafford doesn't do a lot for me. Look, is he better, clearly, than anything the Bears have on their roster? Of course he is. We touched on this yesterday a little bit. If you weren't with us, we can revisit it. Because I think the Stafford thing is going to be interesting and will be a talking point. Obviously, they've agreed to, he and the Lions have agreed to part ways. And, you know, while quarterbacks are playing to 40 now and playing seemingly well, there could still be some good years for Matt Stafford. Coming off a back injury is a little worrisome, but science and medicine are pretty good today. And he's still, you know, like I said, guys play longer, quarterbacks are protected. He could have another 5-6 years where Matt Stafford's really good.
I wait.
And he's clearly better, make no mistake, than anything the Bears have on their roster. And if you want a veteran, he's probably the most likely acquisition you could make if you're the Bears.
I wait.
But yeah, I'm with Yurk. It doesn't do a lot for me. I'm certainly not giving up a first round draft pick for Matthew Stafford at this point.
Absolutely not.
I'm just not.
Absolutely not.
Matthew Stafford has a career quarterback rating below 90. So does Jay Cutler.
Yep.
Is that what we want really as Bears fans? Quarterback ratings today should be up around 99.
Yeah, 95. At least 95.
Not 89.
95 is your bottom area. 95, there's some efficiency happening.
And I don't want to hear about the growth and this and that. Matthew Stafford's been in the league, what, a dozen years? I mean, this is it. This is Matt Stafford, just like we knew what Jay Cutler was.
This is who he is.
I've always said he's a slightly better Jay Cutler. Is that what you want? We've been down that road. You've traded a first-round pick for that. You want to give up another first-round pick? When you haven't had him?
No.
For Matt Stafford?
You wait on him, guys. You wait on him. I don't know if people think there's going to be 25 suitors for Matt Stafford. I don't believe that.
Now, if you told me at the end of the day Detroit was so desperate, you get him for a third-round pick, now I'm interested. But it does nothing to solve your long-term problems at the position. It just doesn't.
I let somebody else go ahead and do that. If Indianapolis believes they're a better team with him, you can have them.
That seems to be the spot, right?
Indianapolis, you can have them.
But they're more ready than the Bears, probably, too.
Well,
you know, you got a better offensive
line.
You got a, you know, you
doesn't matter
got a
who
good
their
defense.
Running backs are. Good offensive line means your running backs are going to be okay.
Right, yeah. They've got their running backs is what I meant. I mean, they're pretty secure with their running backs.
They've got
some
good receivers there, too,
Michael Pittman's kid.
Pittman Jr.
Yeah, Pittman Jr.
They got another guy with a weird last name.
Pascal.
Yeah.
But Pittman Jr. sort of emerged in the second half.
T.Y. Hilton actually was better in the second half when he finally was healthy.
Right, as opposed to the first half when he was non-existent.
They seem to be a little bit more maybe ready-made for him to go ahead, you know.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Let Indianapolis have him. I'm not worried about it.
So if you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Carmen DeFalco, at Yurko64, that's Yurko with the J. Jay Glazer, speaking of Jays, who's pretty plugged in the NFL, has some thoughts on the Bears and where they're positioned in the quarterback carousel in this offseason. We'll play that when we come back next. We also got a great game for later, older or younger than the Bears' Super Bowl victory, which turns 35 today. You won't want to miss that. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram, at Carmen and Yurko. And at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I always think of Swingers. Nah, I think of how old that movie is. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope everyone's having a great day. How much snow did you get by you? A lot or a little?
A little bit.
A little bit? Nothing major?
Maybe 2-3 inches tops.
That's not bad.
Tops.
Yeah, by about 4 by us, I think.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Well, good for you.
Congratulations.
Doable.
That's survivable, kid.
Didn't even think about it this morning. Got up, got my daughter, took her to class.
I saw our friend, the Gridiron Assassin, on Instagram in shorts and a t-shirt, braving the elements as only a true Chicagoan could. Making some sort of point. I'm not sure what it was, but I was laughing.
I think he's making a point that, guys, it snows. We're in Chicago.
Yeah, it happens.
It snows.
I got to say, we've been pretty lucky. I mean, Jan 26, you know, really the first big storm of the season.
I watched a little ABC 7 today. Yeah. Of course, they had Pathiao and they had others out there braving the cold weather.
So does Gianna.
With the affirmation of, yes, it's snowing. Oh, yeah, Gianna had their people.
Send them out.
It's easy to switch between 7 and 9. Just go up, go down. There you go.
Send them out.
Get them out. Tracy featured 74 times this morning.
Yeah, just tell me
that there's snow. I appreciate it. Thank guys. And then what was on? Robin Hood, what Russell Crowe was on.
Yeah, I never saw that one.
One of the movie channels. Yeah, you'll enjoy that one.
Yeah?
That's a wonderful telling of Robin Hood.
Better than the Kevin Costner one?
Everything is better than anything Kevin Costner has ever done.
Well, I don't know about that, but there was a run there.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is great. Bull Durham.
He had it.
Bull Durham, great.
Yeah, Bull Durham's very entertaining, yes.
No Way Out's excellent.
It's
a pretty good one. There's some good ones.
Draft Day.
Draft Day's horrible.
Gene Hackman's the star of that movie. No Way Out. Sean Young is
Yeah, Sean Young, yeah. Yeah.
No, Kevin Costner was not the best part of that movie.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know that.
But yeah, the one he did was, maybe I'll have to watch the...
He couldn't use an English accent.
It was terrible.
What kind of crappy actor can't put an English accent on?
Terrible.
All I've got to do is look at John Bercow video. He was the Speaker of the House up at in Britain over there.
Yeah.
And you listen to him, and then you got yourself an English accent for the rest of your life.
I mean, really, like, you can't
You can't do a
Robin Hood movie, and the guy is, you know... got an American accent. I mean,
you can't
do you think, because he was such a big star, they cast him, and then what do you think happened, like, halfway through?
No, halfway through, 10 minutes in,
they went, oh,
screw
God,
it, just
what are we
speak the way you're going to speak, and we're going to pretend like you did it right.
They're probably thinking, how can we get out of this? We got to find a different actor.
He's not from Nottingham.
So good.
I mean, what kind of crappy actor are you?
Oh, my God.
Kevin Costner, an actor. Get out of here.
Here's Jay Glazer talking about where the Bears are positioned in the quarterback carousel in the 20 going into 2021 offseason. Here we are again, Bears fans, the organization we love, looking for a quarterback. Listen to Jay Glazer.
Where are the Bears positioned in the expected quarterback carousel? They're going to be big players in it. They know they have to. They know that their entire offseason, their future, really, you know, hinges on them finding the right guy, finding a quarterback where they don't keep having to have the quarterback carousel. And if you have a guy in there, an offensive guy like Matt Nagy, you want to find somebody you could team up with him for a long time. So, you know, if I'm them, I'm exhausting. Whatever I think my top three options are, I'm doing everything I can to get those top three options. The first option is Deshaun Watson. That's the guy. Of anything out there, Deshaun Watson would be my top target. I would trade so much for a guy like Deshaun Watson.
Everybody's top target is going to be Deshaun Watson. That's the problem.
I'd trade so much for Deshaun Watson.
And what are you really willing to trade?
And what is Houston willing to take? That's the important thing, Carm. They don't want the 20th pick in the NFL draft.
You're going to have to give them multiple.
They want a top five pick in this year's NFL draft, and then more picks as they move on.
The problem is, even if you give them picks, if you like entice them with picks later on, they're going to be thinking, well, if we're giving you Watson, you're probably going to be good enough to be picking around 20 again. And what are we going to do with those picks?
Remember why the Raiders made the trade with the Bears? With Khalil
Mack? Well, sure, because they thought they were going to be terrible.
Right, they're going to be terrible. They didn't trade him to Green Bay because they thought Green Bay was going to be better.
That's right.
They traded him to Bears. The Bears ended up being real good, and the Packers.
And the Packers
so
missed the playoffs that year in 2018.
There you go.
That's absolutely
true. So all
true.
Your best laid plans sometimes go awry. So hopefully, you know, Houston's going to be smart, and they're going to go ahead. We need something absolute this year in the first round.
A high pick.
Yeah,
not a 20th pick.
Absolute. That's why
they're going to want the Jets.
Realistically, aren't in this.
They can't be because you know why? If they're going to trade him, they've got to get the Jets or the Dolphins pick, don't they? So that they can pick one of the quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
That's kind of what they need.
Yeah.
You know, and then I keep going back to what Seth Payne, who played in the league, who does radio down in Houston, told us last week when he joined us. He said, you want to see what it's like to have Deshaun Watson and no first round picks? Look at the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good point. Now, he did say, you know, even with that said, this guy's so special, I would trade a lot for him, kind of like what Jay Glazer was saying. But that point resonated with me right away because we were talking about that. Like, seriously, what would be too much? As great as he is, I recognize his greatness.
But, you know, the one point I'll make is, like, they were fine when they traded away their first-round pick. They added Tunsil. Because of that first round. Like, they had him, talent surrounding him.
The Hopkins thing is what hurt them?
This previous season. And that's when the Hopkins-David Johnson debacle that Bill O'Brien was allowed to go ahead and pull off really hamstrung what they were doing as a team.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. Like, he couldn't get along with DeAndre Hopkins to the point where he had to move him.
It's crazy. Remember that day that happened?
That is nutty.
Speaking of days that we remember, we were on the air. We saw it cross the wire. It was late in the show. Remember, we were all kind of like, what are we missing here? I mean, the Houston Texans are trading DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson?
Guys, you saw in Jacksonville with Jalen Ramsey. There were a number of guys Jalen wanted out. He had enough. He didn't like Coughlin. He didn't like Coughlin's
reaction. But Jalen wanted out, though. I mean, like, did DeAndre Hopkins want
this
out?
This was proactive by Bill O'Brien.
Right. Well, the relationship between the two had soured. So in the relationship between Jalen Ramsey and Wajmal, I'm not working. It's one or the other. That's how it ended up working. It's one or the other. I think Bill O'Brien put it, well, it's either me or him. Which way do you guys want to go?
Well, nobody. But he had the GM control, so he actively... See, this is the one thing, though. That was a misstep by him, clearly, because he was fired within four games.
Right,
but, like, if you've got Deshaun Watson on your roster, like, look, you don't have to consult him with every decision. But if you have a franchise quarterback in place, you should say, hey, you know that guy who caught 130 passes from you the last couple of years?
Yeah.
He's being a real pain in my ass. And I think we'd be better as an organization moving forward if we trade him away. And I know he's your guy, but I'm really thinking about this because I don't think I can coach with him. Listen, there's very few positions I think you need to do that with the quarterback, but the one spot you probably should at least run it by him is his franchise
and then
receiver.
Then you put it as to him as talk to him.
Yeah.
Talk to him. See if you can't settle him down.
Interesting.
If you can, he goes, I'm going to move him.
Yeah.
That's it. So ask him to figure it out.
All right, Bears fans, so who should it be and who's realistic in all of this? 312-332-3776. And just what's going on in Green Bay, what was the calculated motive behind Aaron Rodgers' comments the other night? There's some developing news about that. Plus, Rob Domofsky will join us live in Green Bay in 15 minutes.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Make sure you watch us on Twitch every day. See what's happening, what's shaking in the first Midwest Bank State Street studios. Twitch.tv or download the Twitch app. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. It is that simple, folks. What's up, Twitchers? Everybody that's on the stream now. You know, Randy Merkin mentioned the great Joe Thomas yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Joe Thomas, who in the next year or two will be up for the Hall of Fame. Now, that's a first ballot lock for Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Of course, started at Wisconsin and is from Wisconsin. I mean, I'm assuming Joe Thomas grew up a cheesehead, a Packer fan, right? Grew up outside of Milwaukee, if I'm not mistaken. But I saw him tweeting last night about Aaron Rodgers. He gave everybody the Aaron Rodgers relax. Remember that from a couple of seasons ago?
Yes.
Relax, Packer fans. This is from Joe Thomas's verified account. Aaron Rodgers knows at Packers aren't stupid enough to move on from the best player in the NFL, who shows no signs of decline and is under contract. This is him asking, taking a little shot at the GM who drafted a quarterback in the first round last year. He continued with a follow-up tweet. He knows that Packer fans and the NFL will jump quickly on these comments and remind everyone of the stupidity of moving up and drafting a quarterback when you have Rodgers and you could have picked a different player that may have allowed you to win this game and then the Super Bowl. I'm sure that does have a lot to do with it. I don't think he's still happy to this day that they drafted Jordan Love. I think he would like some other help, whether that's a great pass catcher or a defensive player that could really help them. Maybe it's Aaron Rodgers' subtle way of saying, not so subtle way of saying to them, don't screw it up again come April. Maybe we should believe some of the rumors that are circulating now that Aaron Rodgers wants a new contract, that maybe it's twofold. And that's why he made those comments, and he sounded as down and dejected and as uncertain as he did following the loss on Sunday evening. And that was the latest rumor from Pro Football Talk this morning, that he indeed would like a new contract. I guess Jason Wilde, our buddy, we're going to talk to Lebowski in like 10 minutes.
Right.
But I guess Wilde put out a tweet, too, about, I'm going to check it.
So just real quick, Ayuk went right before they picked.
Brandon Ayuk.
Then they moved up to take Jordan Love.
They did. Justin Jefferson was already off the board, in fairness. Right.
There were five wide receivers already off the board. Yeah. So the next three, T. Higgins.
Pretty good.
Cincinnati. Michael Pittman Jr., Indianapolis.
Pretty good.
Already mentioned him and talked about him today. And then Laviska Shenault Jr.
Right. Who he actually had a few games, too.
Right. The next year. And they're searching for a quarterback still. And they're going to get their quarterback.
Yes, they're going to get it now.
They're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
Or yeah. T. Higgins.
They're getting their quarterback.
T. Higgins would look pretty good.
No, he would. But the one thing, like, it's not like Lazard. And look, if MVS hangs onto the ball, he's got half the time he can make those explosive plays.
True.
We know Devontae Adams is one of the best receivers in football. Tonyan was a nice find by Ted Thompson, one of the last moves he made. You know, he's been a revelation. They've got Aaron Jones in the backfield, along with Jamal Williams, who's a nice counterpoint. Like, everyone likes to talk about how the Packers lack weapons, but it's not like they're bereft.
All right, but they're, like, again, though, but they don't have, besides Adams, another world-class wide receiver. They don't have a number two that you say, oh, my heavens, with this guy and that guy. They've got Devontae Adams and a cast of characters. They don't have Devontae Adams and this guy. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
They don't have that combination.
But
and he was hoping to get that combination, but with five guys going and Ayuk getting taken right in front of him, they decided, hey, we can't.
I guess
do
that's my point is, like, is T. Higgins really going to make the difference in yesterday's game versus, because Aaron Jones has been, if Aaron Jones wasn't fumbling the ball away, he's been a dynamic pass catcher the last couple seasons
out of
the backfield.
That fumble was a killer.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, an absolute killer.
Like, a crippler.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's harping on, like, I don't know if that move's going to be terrible. If Jordan Love turns into a great quarterback, they won't look back.
But Aaron doesn't care about it.
I know
what you're saying.
It's the same complaint Brett Favre had when they took Aaron Rodgers. Why aren't you helping us win?
Yes.
It's come full circle now, and here's Aaron Rodgers going,
and
what the hell are you doing to me? We're trying to win, aren't
and
we?
And does the Packers franchise regret
no.
drafting Aaron Rodgers
no.
at
no,
all?
No. For the long-term health of their organization, they feel like they did the right thing. You're right, Meller. I mean, there's no doubt that they wouldn't have done it otherwise.
And it doesn't matter how unhappy Aaron Rodgers
is.
You're not like, going anywhere.
He's saying it because
he's mad
living in the moment as a mid-30s quarterback. Who knows,
37-year-old.
Who knows that these things are, you know, how many bites at the apple do you actually get? I mean, that's why he's upset.
Sure, and I understand it, but let's not pretend like he doesn't have his own personal emotions wrapped up in this whole thing about having his replacement brought in right behind him.
And what about the contract? You know, that's the other thing here.
Well, he's got 3 years left on the contract where he's getting paid pretty well, so every player should get as much as he can. He negotiated the contract with his agent. He signed the contract. You negotiated it. You signed the contract.
You know, I think it's a little, what you're going to see in the headlines is that Aaron Rodgers is he's the sixth or maybe fifth. He's the fifth or sixth highest paid quarterback. And when you just see that on the surface, you think, well, that's bad. How can that be? He's the MVP. The problem is, it's just timing. It's just chronology, right? I mean, sure. Whenever the quarterback that signs tomorrow is going to get the most money. And then next year, another great young quarterback will sign and he'll get the most. You know what I mean? It's just like, so Aaron Rodgers signed it a couple years ago and $33.5 million looked pretty good. And right now it's fifth because he signed it a couple years ago. So
I have very little sympathy for Aaron Rodgers.
Mark Murphy, their president.
Right? Their president.
Technically their president. Yeah. He was on WNFL in Green Bay.
Yep.
And said, quote, "We're not idiots. We're not trading Aaron Rodgers.
He's not being traded."
I mean, we can pretty much put that one to bed. Look, Deshaun Watson might get traded. Might be crazy. Might get traded. The idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded this offseason is pretty ridiculous. And like Yurko said, if anything, he'll be the one who has to sacrifice a year. Aaron Rodgers will have to say, "Well, I'm retiring. I'm not going to play." The Packers are not relinquishing his rights.
Right.
It would make no sense for them.
And so they don't have to pay him. They put him on the non-report list.
I mean,
he sits out there.
And they're not trading him.
They're not trading him anywhere.
They'd be crazy to.
And then the next year will come in, and he'll be 38 going on his 39th season, and 39-8 season, and they'll be like, "Well, you're still in the same place, Chad."
Yeah, right, exactly. So he doesn't have that much leverage, as Yurko would say.
That's right.
Darren's in Lamont on ESPN 1000. Hey, Darren.
Hey. You know what? All this quarterback talk, you guys got to look at the big picture. I was just thinking about it. I got something to say. But name me a team that's actually had a crappy line that went out and got a good quarterback and was better. So this is like going out with my best friend, going down, living in Chicago with all the snow, going out and buying a Corvette but not having a garage.
We've already addressed the fact that we need two new offensive tackles on this team. And the first round pick, the 20th pick, will be going for one of those offensive tackles. Then whatever you get in the draft via the free agency, you've got to go find the other one.
Obviously, Darren, you're right, and we know it. We have talked about it. The Bears need to reconstruct their offensive line, certainly the tackles.
Well, I mean, and I'm okay
we
with
know
the,
that.
The four in the middle with James Daniels coming back.
Yeah.
I'm all right with what they got going on in the middle. What we have to address, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, is the tackle position.
That doesn't mean, Darren, that they shouldn't be out looking for their franchise quarterback. The Bears should be doing that every year until they get it right. It's as simple
Period.
As that.
Period.
Every year, they should be spending resources on quarterbacks until they know they finally got the damn position right. That's the big picture. You want to talk about big picture, that's it. The big picture is this franchise has failed miserably. Ryan Pace got here. I almost called him Ryan Trask for some reason.
I know, because you're thinking of the Florida quarterback.
Ryan Pace got here in 2015 and talked about the importance of always drafting and developing quarterbacks. He's drafted one. One. And he traded up for the wrong one.
Yes.
So what big picture are we talking about? Like, yeah, we know the big picture. I wish they knew the big picture. Right. And if they had any sense about them... they would have been doing this for years.
Right.
Investing the proper resources to fix the quarterback position. There is no reason that in the last 10 years that the New England Patriots should have been drafting more quarterbacks than the Chicago Bears. But I've got news for you. It's a fact.
Flash. It is.
Bill Belichick has drafted more quarterbacks in the last decade than the Bears have because the Bears are clueless. And Ted Phillips says stuff like, "Is it still on my screen?" Yeah.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No.
Duh.
Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
That's why. The big picture, they don't see.
Yeah.
Address the position every year until you fix it.
But we do have Tariq Cohen coming back, Carm. I want to leave.
Thank
you
goodness.
With that.
Yeah. Yes. But that's going to make all the difference. Rob Domofsky, live in Green Bay, next. Back in 2 minutes.